good morning. What's the most important thing in life? Hey, you're getting the message already. That's good. And you know, this is a perfect morning for us. I don't know whether you looked at your Facebook late last night like I did, but I saw a video that had Steve Osorio proposing to Stephanie White. And they got engaged yesterday. So what's the most important thing in life? Love, right? I was so excited. I got dressed up this morning. I thought they might want to go ahead and do the ceremony, okay? So just wanted to see what's going on. You know, John Paul Getty, who at one point probably was the wealthiest man in the world, had everything you could imagine. He said, "Oh, I just wish I could just have one happy marriage." I think he'd been through three. You know, and here's a man who has everything that we're all striving for, everything that we put all our time and attention and all our energy into trying to get. He says, "I've got all this stuff, and you know what? It doesn't really matter if you don't have love in your life." So love is that thing that really makes the difference. The Bible is really the authority on love, really tells us what love is all about. You probably know this passage from 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We call it the love chapter. We often quote verses 4 to 7 in the wedding ceremony. Take a look up on the screen. We'll just read them together. You know this. Read this about how wonderful this love is. Love is patient. Love is kind. It doesn't envy. It doesn't boast. It's not proud. It doesn't dishonor others. It's not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. It doesn't delight in evil, but rejoices with truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Now, how many of you want more of that? I mean, isn't this what we're all really looking for on every level of relationships in our life? We'd like to see the world act like this. We'd like to see our family act like this. And of course, they'd like to see us act like that. But, you know, this whole ideal of having love, God tells us in the first three verses of this chapter, he says, listen, without this, you're nothing. All the things, all the achievements you have. Look at the first verse of chapter 13. He said, "If I speak with the tongues of men or of angels," that's like a guy like me, you know, I'm supposed to be able to be an eloquent speaker. I'm supposed to be able to really, speak so clearly and so persuasively and everything else. He says, you can be the best speaker in the world, but if you don't have love, you're just like a gong. You're just like a clanging cymbal. It doesn't sound good at all. And then he goes on and says, let me just emphasize this. Look at verse 2. He says, "If I have the gift of prophecy and I can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and I have the faith that can move mountains." Now, how many of us would like to be that, right? That we would have such a spiritual filling in our life that we could see what was going to happen. God could show us what was happening in the future, that he could give us the ability to understand all things and to be able to express all these things and to have great, great knowledge in our head, to know everything about his word and be able to explain it to other people. He says, but you could be a person like that. He says, but if you don't have love, you're what?
Nothing.
And then he says, I'll just put the one more capper on this. Look at verse 3. He says, "If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship, that I may boast." You know, sometimes you come to church and say, how much do they want me to give? I'm going to really take a generous step of faith, and I'm going to really give and help other people, and I'm going to share all that I have. He says, but if you don't do it with love, what do you gain?
Nothing.
Love is really at the heart of what God really is looking for in our life. Now you can see, you know, with our new little series coming up here, our little template there, that we're going to talk about love. For the next 4 or 5 weeks, we're going to talk about the difference that love makes in all of our relationships. And how many of us need more love? Wouldn't you like to have more love in your relationships, more love in your world, more love in where you're at? And we're going to focus on how we can make that happen, how we can increase this in our life. If you look across the bottom, very subtle, but there's all these little icons across the bottom of the screen. You see those? It's basically kind of representing all the different areas that we have. Today we're going to talk about marriage. Sometime we're going to talk about our families. We're going to talk about our parents and our children. We're going to talk about our friends. We're going to talk about our neighbors. God wants us to have His love in all these aspects of our life. And so we're going to take a look at all these things. And don't worry, even though we're starting with marriage today, for those of you who aren't married, we're not leaving you out. Everything we're going to talk about today is going to be very helpful for those of you who want to be married, for those of you who say, never again am I going to be married, or never do I want to be married. I think it's going to be helpful in all the relationships that we have, and the same principles that we'll teach about husbands and wives really apply to all of us. I have people come to me and say some very sad words. They say, I think I married the wrong person. And they begin to talk about all of that, and they say, you know, we seemed like we were just perfect for each other, and he was just the man that I really wanted, but the more I've gotten to know him, the more I even dislike him. I used to love to be around him, and now I kind of just wish for moments when we're not together. And I just kind of wonder what really happened with all of that. There are others of us in the church that are still married. We're still doing a lot of things together. But when we get honest moments and we talk to some of our friends, we really say from our depths of our heart, I don't understand why we don't love each other the way that we used to love each other. It used to be so exciting. We used to be so on fire. We used to be so focused on each other. There used to be a time where all I could do was think about my wife or my husband. And now it's just like they're there. I can count on them. I'll see them when I have to see them, and we'll do our things together. But we just don't have that love in our life like it used to be. Some of us feel that way. Hopefully in what we begin to unpack in today and in the weeks to come, we can start to talk about how to get that love back, how to rekindle that love, how to find out that we are not looking for somebody else, but that maybe God, the person that God has put in our life, is exactly who we're supposed to love. Now, this is a huge topic, right? And you understand how complex and how deep all this is. We've been so fortunate here at Shelter Rock Church. Eric and Carmen Moore have been so helpful to us. I work with the marriage ministry, and Eric and Carmen have been great teachers for us and helped us in so many ways. If you've been to some of the workshops, you've been on the retreats with us, you know, we just keep learning again about how to really love each other and how to strengthen our marriages. And you know that Carmen and Eric are fighting a real battle now. Carmen's really fighting a battle against cancer, and Eric's had a little surgery here this week. And so I'm going to stop and pray. I'm going to pray for our study together, and let's pray for them, because they've been such leaders for all of us. So let's bow our heads and pray. God, on this day, this first Sunday in October, we come really looking for more love. We know that your love, and we know that we need your love. Father, we've tasted a little bit of it. We know how good it is, and we want more of it. And so we ask that you'd open our hearts up this morning, that you'd open our minds up, that you'd help us to consider and think about things that you want to teach us. Because we want to be people who love you and people who love others. You said those were the two most important things in life, that we would love you more and that we would love other people more. So help us today, Father. Speak through me and help us to begin to understand what you want to say to us. And Lord, today, on this day, we can't really worship and go through this without thinking about our brother and sister Eric and Carmen and the battle that they're fighting. We thank you for how they have given us so much insight, so much help. They've been so vulnerable, so transparent with us. They've told us the truth about things, and they've helped us to take steps to really begin to rekindle that love in our lives. Father, we pray that your hand of healing would be on Carmen and Eric, and that you would protect their lives and guard them and use them for great things. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. The book of Ephesians, the book of the New Testament, we get some very clear pictures about this idea that God wants to have a relationship with us, and he builds it around the relationships that we have with each other. The purpose that we get to know him better is that so that we can not only love him more, but that we can love other people around us more. And so if you read the book of Ephesians, it's very interesting. There's six chapters, and the first three chapters are all about how much God loves us and all that he's done for us. And then the last three chapters, 4, 5, and 6, are all about how we live this out. And so here we are. Look on the screen there. Here's the first verse from chapter 4, kind of like turning the corner. If you now, when you begin to understand how much God loves you, He writes, as a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling that you've received. In other words, God is saying, look, I've poured so much out to you. This morning we're going to take the Lord's Supper, the bread and the cup. I mean, this is his living example of how much he's poured out for us and what he's done for us. And we come to remember that today. And he says, because I've loved you so much and given so much to you, now just live the way that I can teach you to live. Live in a new way. Live in a way that really shows the kind of love that I have to the people in your life and this calling that I've given to you. If you go on to chapter 5, you can see that he basically says, listen, be filled with the Spirit. Don't just kind of do things your old way. Don't do the things in the way that you used to do them. And be filled with the Spirit. And when you're filled with the Spirit, you begin to submit to one another. Instead of fighting against each other, instead of competing with one another, instead of like being in a battle with each other and trying to get ahead of, or, you know, trying somehow to outdo all of them. No. Cooperate with them. Submission is nothing more than voluntary cooperation. Kind of saying, let's get together. Let's work all this out. So really submit yourself to them. He goes on and talks about the wives submitting to the husbands. He talks about the husbands laying down their lives for their wives just the way that Christ did. And then, you know, he quotes what Jesus said. What is marriage all about? He said, for this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. Now, growing up, I was always thinking, one flesh. I know what that means. And I'm thinking, that's why I really want to get married, right? So I can have a physical relationship with my wife, with this young lady who I love so much. But God not only wants us to have just that physical union, he wants us to really be together in our hearts and our minds, really be together in our souls, really be able to be connected to each other in a deeper, stronger way, to really become one in the way that we think and the way that we handle life and the way that we deal with all the growth that we need in our life. And then it goes on in the end of Ephesians, he's talking, and he says, you know, if you haven't figured out marriage yet, well, let me tell you, it is a mystery, right? And he even goes on and says, it's not just a mystery between two people trying to understand each other. This really reflects the kind of relationship that God wants to have with us. In a sense, he uses this whole marriage relationship so that we can understand that he wants us to be married to him. He talks about us being the bride of Christ. That as Christ is the groom and we're the bride, that we're to give ourselves to him and to have that kind of relationship. He's laid down his life for us, and now that we can really be connected to him and put our trust completely into him. And then look at verse 33. It says, however, each one of you must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. And there in those last verses of the chapter 5, you see that the two key issues in our marriage relationship is love and respect. Self-sacrificing love, love that's even willing to go to the ultimate, and respect that builds up each other. And if you really want to dig in and kind of begin to look, lots of great studies, lots of great opportunities that we can talk about love and respect, and you can learn about these things in your own life. One of the great helpers to me in understanding marriage has been Tim Keller and his wife, Kathy, over at Redeemer Presbyterian in Manhattan. They've written a book called The Meaning of Marriage. And if you're really interested in improving your marriage, I'd just encourage you. This is a very good book, very easy to read. It's not full of philosophy. It's not full of a lot of, you know, big grandiose psychological language. It's just very, very practical things. And Tim Keller basically says that the number one issue in marriage is self-centeredness. That self-centeredness is the thing that kills our relationship. That we think more about ourselves. That what makes marriage and a relationship grow, what makes love really grow, is that we begin to think more about the other person than we think about ourselves. Now, how would you say, is that easy to do? Oh, at moments, you know, I think sometimes even when I'm thinking of the other person really deep down inside, I'm really thinking about what's best for me, right? I'm really, you know, we're so driven by, you know, looking out for ourselves that sometimes we really don't understand what this is all about. Keller goes on and says, what's the meaning and the mission of marriage? He says the real meaning of and mission of marriage is that we would learn to be friends with each other. That we would have a friendship. That we would get to know each other better and stronger. That we would really treat each other with that kind of love that God gives to us. That we would care for each other and pour out ourselves. and sacrifice ourselves with this rare, rare agape love, willing to lay aside our own desires and our own concerns, our own agenda, to really build up another person. Well, he goes on then and says, and you know, when we do that, really what we're doing, our marriage can often be the place where God can work in our own lives. That God uses the person that we spend our life with, he uses that person to help us become more like Jesus. He uses that person to kind of reflect to us who we are and helps us to see all these things. Now, that's a very interesting idea, isn't it? That the person that you're married to isn't someone that you're in competition with. It isn't someone that you just have to handle. It isn't someone that you just have to, you know, kind of get the most out of them and kind of work side by side. No, maybe God has put that person in your life because he's going to use that person to help you become more like him, which is really what his ultimate goal is with you. Some people have said, well, I don't know. I can see if I was married to so-and-so, they would be perfect to help me. But you don't know who I'm married to. Take a look at my wife or at my husband. And sometimes, you know, Keller actually says in the book, he says that we're called to love the stranger. And he goes on and says, he kind of tells the story about how we often think the people that we marry, by the time we've been married to them, sometimes they say between 6 months and 2 years, things change, right? When we often get started in dating each other and marrying each other, and you know, we got this very ideal view of who this person is, but after you live with somebody for 6 months, oh my, you're thinking, now who is this, right? And we kind of wonder what this is all about, and so he says that God uses this person to really help prepare us to be transformed into his likeness, to be like who he wants us to be. And that we learn through this whole situation. And he goes on and he says, here's one key verse, again from Ephesians, talking about how the Spirit wants to work in us. And look at this verse and apply this to our marriage. He says, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. That's a key verse. I'm going to spend the rest of our time this morning talking about this verse. So grab onto this, okay? We're going to talk about speaking the truth in love, in our families, in our relationships, in our marriages, speaking the truth in love. For what reason? For what purpose? So that we will grow. And grow into what? That we'll grow to become, in every respect, the mature body of him. We're going to become like Christ. We're going to become what he's intended us to be. This whole idea that God's using marriage and he's using us in our interactions with each other so that we'll fulfill our destiny, who God really intends us to be, who we really are. God's going to use this in our life to make a difference in all of us. My, my. What a difference that's going to make. So let's take a look at it. Number one, let's talk about the power of truth, okay? He says, speak the truth in love. Well, the truth in love can be a little bit difficult. You know, most of the time, dating is kind of a deception, isn't it? And you think about it. I mean, when we date somebody, we're often like putting on our best self. We dress up the best way. We are very careful. We kind of plan everything out. We're very generous in where we, you know, how we spend our money and everything else. And when we come to the point of finally getting married, then you know we kind of look and say, well, who are you, right? The guy I was dating, he was so kind and so thoughtful. He opened the door for me. He showed up on time. He kept his promises. He called me every day. And now that I've been married to you for a year and a half, I'm wondering, what happened to that guy, right? So oftentimes, you know, we kind of set ourselves up in situations where we kind of say, well, this is what I want you. And we don't even begin close to do that. And what often happens to us is that sometimes we find out that we have to hear the truth from other people. And God will use our spouse really to speak the truth into our life. It's really like a full-length mirror that gets put up in our house. Our spouse kind of really shows us who we are. And we may think, well, I'm this and I'm that. But you know, sometimes the people who know us best and live with us and walk with us, they understand who we are. And they can speak who we are in a clearer way than anybody else. And I would say to you this morning, whatever your marriage situation is, however you feel about it, don't resist the power of truth in your life. Don't resist the opportunity that your spouse has to really to talk to you about really what's wrong with you. Oh boy, now I've crossed over, right? Because you think, if my spouse got a long list about what's wrong with me, right? That could be a long conversation. Well, that's true in every marriage. I mean, my wife's had a very hard time with me because I guess the way we grew up, me being older, me having the car, me having the job, me going to college, me doing all these things, me coming to work for Youth for Christ, me being in charge of all these things, kind of doing all these things, me being connected to God and doing God's work. She's like, I can't even have a conversation with you. I can't even have we can't even discuss anything because it's always like, well, God told me this is what we should do. She said, I'm always outnumbered. You know, it's never like my opinion and your opinion. It's always like your opinion and God's opinion, right? And so, you know, and I had to stop and think, she's right. You know, I wasn't doing that to hurt her. I was doing because I thought this is how God was working through us with all these things. And your spouse can point out these things in your life and show you these areas where you've been wrong. And what are we like? Well, we're independent, some of us. Sometimes some of us are really worriers and anxious about things. Some of us are perfectionists. I mean, we've all got flaws. We've all got struggles that we have. Some of us are impatient. Some of us have a bad temper. Some of us don't like being corrected in these ways. But God wants us to use this relationship to enhance our growth. He wants to use marriage to show us that, you know, people really who care about us can speak truth into our life. That we shouldn't be out thinking about being married to somebody else when in fact God's put that person in our life for these things. You know, sometimes the way that we look at this is we kind of say, oh boy, my spouse has a lot of flaws, but I don't know if I'm really the person to really talk about this. You know, I don't know if they'd really receive this or not. You have to find a way to be able to share all these things. That brings us to the second thing. That's the power of love. You know, we're supposed to speak the truth, but we're supposed to speak the truth in love. And most of the time, the reason that we're often so defensive against receiving any criticism from anybody else is because we've heard a lot of negative words from other people in our life, from our parents. And sometimes the most negative words we've heard about who we are come from ourselves. Sometimes we have a kind of continuing loop kind of playing in our head about what's wrong with us. And how foolish we are, and how flawed we are, and how much we struggle with things, and the mistakes that we make, and we play them over and over. So when someone comes alongside of us who's willing to give their life to us, and begins to try to tell us the truth, we immediately put up our defenses and kind of say, no, 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 you know, I'm not this way. And we do everything to kind of hold them off and to keep them from that. But sometimes what we realize is we need to understand that God has sent this person into our life to really love us. And that what they really do is that they really show love to us. And that the way that they show love to us, well, you know, I'll tell you what my wife does. She doesn't just come and criticize me. What she does is she begins to really, she gives me attention. She gives me time. She comes to me and kind of says, I'll show you what real love is all about. And so I think that sometimes the way that we really need to show love in our families is that we really need to understand about how to give attention to each other. You know, they say that one of the greatest acts of love is to give somebody your complete, full attention. It's getting harder, isn't it? My wife says I have a syndrome called CPA. That's constant partial attention. I'm sitting on the couch. The TV is on. I'm watching golf. Okay? I have my laptop open. I'm working on my sermon. I have my tablet there, and I'm looking at Facebook with Stephanie and Steve getting engaged, right? I have an earphone in. I'm listening to some of my favorite music. And my wife is talking to me at the same time. And I say, yes, dear, I hear exactly what you're saying, right? She says, yes, but you're not paying attention to me. You're watching, right? And we live in a world that's filled with all of these things, and we're not careful. We can't. The best thing we can do is begin to close the door so that we can give each other our full attention. That's one of the greatest things that you can do. in those areas. Sometimes we need to show more affection. I mean, I met an older couple one time, and the lady kind of pulled me aside, and she said, "My husband never tells me that he loves me." She says, "We've been married almost 50 years. He never even says it. He used to say it. He doesn't say it anymore." So I kind of waited for the right time, and I said to him, do you ever tell your wife that you love her? I kind of get the feeling like maybe she'd really appreciate that. And he said, "Well, I told her a long time ago I loved her. And if anything changes, I'll let her know." Okay? But we need to show affection to each other. I mean, remember when you never could be near your wife without putting your hand on her hand? That you just love to look into her eyes, that you just love to put your arm around her, you just love to kiss her. I mean, sometimes, we get in situations where we've lived enough life together, it's almost like, yeah, we're there. You're there, and I'm here, and we're together, but we've lost the affection, isn't there with us anymore. And then finally, we just need to give affirmation to each other. We really need to build each other up and to let each other know what their strengths are. We need to talk to each other about what's going on in our lives and how that works with all that. There's a lot of great ways to do this. There's a great little book out called The Love Languages, if you haven't seen it. Tremendous book. Basically, it talks about how we have different ways of expressing love to other people. This would be a great tool for your marriage and to help you in these ways. Here's the last thing, the power of truth, the power of love, and it comes down, look, it's the power of grace, the power of forgiveness, for us to be able to really care for each other. And that's what we're celebrating here today. In Ephesians again, Paul's saying, if you're really filled with the Spirit, how do we treat each other? How do we care for each other? Be kind and compassionate to one another. Forgive each other, just as in Christ, God forgave you. You want to make your marriage full of love again? You want to rekindle there? Learn to forgive each other. The Bible says that, if we go to worship God and we know that we have something wrong against our brother, our sister, against someone in our life, we're supposed to go and we're supposed to forgive them and then go and settle the whole thing. And for some of us, we're very good at going to try to settle the whole thing. It usually ends up in a confrontation. You did this, I did not, and we go back and forth and we argue and fight about the whole thing and try to figure out who's right and who's wrong. When really what we needed to do was we needed to remember what Christ has done for us, and that even though something bad has happened, we need to forgive them because we love them. Then after we've forgiven them first, and we've kind of settled to that and said, "I forgive you," now you go and talk to them and say, "Now, here's what happened. You didn't call, and I was over here, and you didn't." And we begin to sort all this out, and we tell the truth to each other because we know that we're already on solid ground with each other, that we've forgiven each other, that we love each other, that we're not going to let anything break us apart. And we can work these things out, and our marriages can be stronger. God wants us to forgive one another as He has forgiven us. I think this is the way to make love grow in our marriage. And let the power of truth and the power of love and the power of His grace be with us. So today, of all days, we come to this communion table. We talk about this as being the connection between us and our God.